Coca bocas vindo na virola. Chegou a hora do dinheiro balançar.
I'm Julia Carneiro, born in Brazil, brought up in Rio de Janeiro. In this BBC World Service series, Being Brazilian, I'm going to explore and unpick Brazilian identity and share with you some of what my fellow Brazilians think, feel, and dream of. I'm heading on a journey to meet all kinds of people across Brazil, from Salvador in the northeast to Porto Alegre in the south, to try to get to the heart and soul of what it means to be Brazilian. These are verses from cordel literature, a popular art and storytelling in Brazil's northeast, combining poetry, music, and humor. Antônio Barreto is a cordel writer and a teacher. He lives in the city of Salvador, but is proud of his rural origins, which he keeps alive through his work. One way of being Brazilian.
Being Brazilian is difficult to define, but we are not that different from other people around the world. A Brazilian doesn't just like football. We also enjoy art and culture. And of course, since childhood, what's always been close to our hearts is our relationships with our families.
This is very complicated.
Social anthropologist Roberto da Mata is well known for his insights into the Brazilian ways.
One way that I think of about identity now is in terms of contexts. In some contexts, it's very important for you to say that you don't belong to that group. In other contexts, it's very important for you to say that you are a member of that group, even if you are a marginal member. So in some situations, if you live in Brazil for 20 years, you can be British, but you say, you know something, I feel like a Brazilian. In Carnival, for instance, every foreigner comes here and they want to be like Brazilians. But if they want to criticize Brazil, they will immediately establish this mask and say, you know, Brazil is very nice, but I'm British.
Some clichés about Brazil may be true, but their negatives are also true, says da Mata.
Brazil is a country that you eat feijoada, and that's not true. That people are mulatos, it's not true. It's a country that we love to dance, it's not true. That like samba, it's not true. I don't like sambas, I like American music. So, am I a true Brazilian?
Is this a good moment to confess I don't care much for football, except when it's the World Cup? Then I go crazy like most of the country. But if pinning down Brazilian identity is so complex, perhaps we could start by what we look like.
You know that the Brazilian passport is one of the most valued by the crime organization, because anybody can be Brazilian.
Historian and diplomat Alberto Costa Silva. He's lived and worked all over the world during his 80 years of life. And Brazilians are from almost anywhere. People here can be black, white, indigenous, Arab, Asian, European. But there is one distinctive trait across this vast territory. Brazil is the only country in South America to speak Portuguese in a continent where Spanish is otherwise universal.
Brazil is the son and the daughter of the Portuguese idiom, of the Portuguese language. We are Brazilians because we speak Portuguese. What has made Brazil, which was formed by so different people from Europe, native of this territory, and different people from Africa, is that we, since the beginning, we spoke just one language.
Brazilian blood is a blend between our peoples. The native Indians, the Portuguese colonizers who arrived in 1500, the millions of African slaves brought over three centuries, and other groups of immigrants to arrive later, Italians, Germans, Lebanese, Japanese. But wherever the roots stem from, everyone born here is Brazilian, and sharing a common language helps bind 200 million people together.
In the United States, you see people say, I'm Scottish American. I'm Irish American. I'm British American. I'm German American. It doesn't make sense in Brazil. In Brazil, you are Brazilian. You are Brazilian, why? Because you eat the same foods. Probably food is more important than language. to make you a Brazilian. If you like pepper, if you like beans, and so on, which is a torture for some foreigners, but that's what we impose on them, right? Because you look at that stuff, it's black. Don't ever tell bad things about Brazilian food. And food is a fundamental dimension in the identity. And how do we eat? We eat mixing the food.
But what we eat varies immensely from the north to the south. After all, Brazil is as big as a continent, enough to fit over 33 United Kingdoms. Brazilian rhythms, accents, habits, traits, and tastes can be very different from one region to the next. And we'll start with the taste of the south and the specialty they most take pride in.
They dig a trench up in the earth, they fill it with coal, light up the fire, and then they use bamboo sticks as skewers for the meat, and then they leave the meat over the fire for about 6 hours. This is their favorite cut of meat. It's like a big rack of ribs. About 6 hours to get ready. Aí você falou que derrete daí, né?
Esse osso ali, depois que chega, puxa ele sai inteirinho, sem precisar de faca, sem nada.
Says after it's ready, you don't even need a knife to eat it because the meat gets so soft. I've come to the outskirts of Porto Alegre, to a working class neighborhood known as Parque dos Maias, to see one of the centers of Gaúcho traditions. There's a big dance hall where a group is practicing traditional dances. The men dressed in typical gaúcho attire, red scarves, boots, baggy pants, and the ladies are wearing long flamboyant dresses.
Back to those clichés again. If Brazilians enjoy a good party and have a reputation for letting it rip, it's also true that my country is a conservative place too, where traditions are proudly upheld and cherished. 36-year-old Silvia Cristina Acosta is an English teacher, but in her free time, she puts on her pretty dress and comes to take dance lessons.
CTG is a center of Gaúcho traditions through many kinds of activities, like a cowboy, the songs, traditional dances, and the last part, we say our motto. Which is Gaúcho from the heart, always honoring tradition.
What do you think you have in common as a Brazilian to people who come from the north? What is it that binds Brazilians?
Yeah, I think the pride of being Brazilian is general, is in the whole part. Actually, there is a little fight between Bahia and Rio Grande do Sul. If you take the south and the north, there are a big difference. For example, people here read more newspaper, they are more informed about the world, the conscious about the environment is very strong too. I think because of these influences from the European, our artistic vein is more strong.
It was also here in the South, in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, that hundreds of thousands of European immigrants made their way, fleeing wars and starvation, to settle in a climate similar to home. Italians and Germans built new lives and helped turn the South into the prosperous region it is today. I went to a school in Porto Alegre to find out more about this heritage.
There originally was my first classroom for German language, so I remember it very well. Now there's some construction work going on here. The classes are about to start, all in the nick of time for the school year. It's like the World Cup, you know, everybody just leaves everything for the last minute and
you just wonder how will things get ready in time.
My name is Viviana Nilsson. I am 32 years old. I'm Brazilian and I work at Goethe Institute. And every January and February, I help my parents at their bookstore at the school where I have studied my whole life. Yes.
So we're inside the school. This is where you went. This is where you learned German as well?
Exactly.
I think outside Brazil, lots of people are familiar with the fact that Brazil had Portuguese colonization. There was this very big migration of African slaves, and there's the mixture with the native indigenous population. But here in the south, then, it's the European side that marks.
Yeah, and it's amazing because you can find many people who still, they preserve their Italian heritage or their German heritage, or we have Japanese also here, we have Polish people. If you come here to the south, maybe it will call your attention that people here look a little bit more white, and I think it comes from this European heritage.
So being a little bit European is also being Brazilian?
Completely. We are all Brazilians, despite of wherever our forefathers came, but we are all Brazilians now.
Later, we met up at a bar in Porto Alegre for a German-style Brazilian beer.
Cheers! Prost!
Cheers!
Prost!
Well, I think I'm 100% Brazilian, yes, but of course I cannot deny that there is something very European in my education and even in myself. So it bothers me at times when I only see Brazil portrayed as a country of samba, soccer, and this, like the beaches of Rio and so on, because that's also Brazil, but not only. So when people say, or when people ask me, oh, but how can you not like samba? How can you not be crazy for soccer? How can you not love Rio and want to live there? I feel a little bit kind of offended, because it doesn't mean that I'm not Brazilian just because I don't want this stereotype things, you know.
My name is Beatriz Dreyer Giovannini, and we have a guest house. We have 8 apartments, and we have a winery. We have 18 hectares of grapes, and we made wine and sparkling wine.
Beatriz lives in the lush wine-producing region of Bento Gonçalves. Her grandparents came from Germany and Italy. She took me on a tour of her vineyard.
So we're now next to the vineyards and a pond where lots of birds are singing, the quero-queros.
Yes.
They get very protective of their eggs.
Can you be over the bed?
I've been attacked by a few of these birds before. So life is good here.
Yes, life's good here. Yes, I love it. I love my life.
And later, we talked about what it meant for her to be Brazilian.
So you have both Italian and German roots, which I guess makes you a very good summary of what the south of Brazil is. How do you feel Brazilian with such strong European roots?
Yes, I am Brazilian, but I have good histories from my grandfathers. They taught me about their countries in Europe, in Germany and Italy. And I love this part of the history because the Europe is a very, very old. And I love this, but I am a Brazilian woman.
Do you feel like you are a privileged Brazilian? Because Brazil has so many different realities and people who live in different conditions.
I love my country. I think we have a lot to do. We are new. We are a very, very new country.
Brazil is a young country. Just 30 years ago, we were ending 2 decades of dictatorship, enduring hyperinflation and listed as a third world country. Now, Brazil's lauded as the 6th largest economy in the world. But when you live here, there are constant reminders that there's still a long way to go. The latest corruption scandal, the maddening bureaucracy, poor infrastructure, and poverty everywhere. How then to understand Brazilian identity in this context? A nation on the road to modernity? Historian Costa Silva.
We feel Brazilian more than we think of us as Brazilian.
What is it like to feel Brazilian?
It is so imponderable. The important thing is not what the Brazilians think of themselves, but what they think they should be. We see ourselves as not violent, although we are violent. We think of ourselves having no prejudices, but we have color prejudice. We think of ourselves to have a just society, but we have an unjust society.
Brazil is one of the most unequal countries in the world. And back in Rio, my home city, the contrasts are evident everywhere. Even if you hop into a taxi to sit back and explore the views, appearances are disingenuous and reality can hit you anywhere, be it through children asking for money at the traffic lights or the outpourings of a bitter taxi driver.
My name is Aldecir. I've been a taxi driver for 30 years. I'm 52. I'm Brazilian. But Brazil is a merciless country. It's a good and beautiful country, but with lots of deception. Brazilian policies are made for poor people to work and never to be able to make money. This is why I am a Brazilian who is disgusted. This country is only good to samba musicians, footballers and politicians, who are all corrupt and dishonest. And the poor people are here, in the worst situation ever. They make the Maracanã all fancy, while floods destroy poor people's houses. Brazil will never be the country of the future, because our politicians are all dishonest.
But wages and buying power have improved among Brazil's lower classes, and many are more optimistic. Rodrigo is a 31-year-old carioca, as Rio's residents are called. He's poor, he's black, and he's a favela resident, something we often hear in Brazil to define those who have the least opportunity in society and who face the most prejudice, something we'll hear more about next week. Rodrigo can count on his own hard graft, but how much he earns depends upon the weather. One sunny summer Saturday, I got up early to go to work with him. We're at the Califa Bakery in a working-class neighborhood in Rio. People here are busy making Middle Eastern savory pastries, known as esfihas. A man is busy putting some of these pastries into a tray to bake in the oven, and Rodrigo is putting freshly baked ones into a box he'll then take to the beach and hope to sell later today. We get on a bus and cross the tunnel beneath the Christ the Redeemer rock to reach the upmarket neighborhoods on the coastline. It's 8 a.m. and we're already dripping with sweat.
Every
day I wake up with faith, faith in God, and I hope to sell everything. I need to make a living to get money, so hopefully it will work. I've been doing this for 6 years, so if I weren't making any money, I would have stopped. But you really have to work hard and have discipline. It's like if you go to work that day, you make money. If you don't go to work, you lose money. We just hopped off the bus and we're getting to the beach. Rodrigo's tilting to the side, trying to cope with the weight of the huge box he's carrying. Rodrigo is one of hundreds of beach vendors who make a living catering for the bathers' comfort here at the Leblon beach, selling matiti, snacks, coconut water, and even bikinis.
I
come from a very humble family, very simple, poor family. I live in a favela. I always had to battle my way in life to make a living, and I started my first job when I was 14. Mas você acha que as coisas estão melhorando? Do you think things are improving?
A princípio, sim. Para mim, está melhor.
Things are a lot better. Before, only rich people would have a mobile phone here in Brazil, and today even a homeless person may have a mobile phone. It's the same with cars, people can pay in installments, with houses, so maybe you'll be able to have the house of your dreams. Credit as well, credit card. Today I have my own credit card, I have my mobile phone. So today you do have opportunities of having things you didn't have before. So that's what changed for me. Some of the dreams that we had were made concrete.
Meu sonho, o que eu havia falado, né?
My dream is to have my own house and one day, and also a car. So I carry this very heavy box to the beach every day, and it would be so good to be able to come with the car. So those are my dreams.
Brazilians dream of having a better life, of seeing progress. In its drive towards modernity, the country still looks to Europe and to America, but Brazilian culture swallows them all up.
We used to say that there was three Americas. The Anglo-Saxon America, the Spanish America, and the South America, Brazil. We are America. We are Latin America. I say we are a big stomach. We eat everything and mix it.
It's like the cultural cannibalism advocated in the 1920s by modernist poet Oswald de Andrade in his Anthropophagic Manifesto. Brazil should devour all its influences, European or American, native or African, and turn it into something radically Brazilian.
With two elements that I think it's fundamental to the understanding of the Brazilian identity. We had an aristocracy, and Brazil had black slaves brought from Africa.
To understand our identity, you have to dig into our past. Roberto da Mata.
Brazil became the center of the Portuguese kingdom because the king of Portugal, coronation was in Rio. He was very authoritarian, and several stories about him and so on. And then when he went back to Portugal because of political problems in Portugal, he left his son, Peter II, and the republic was proclaimed. How do you proclaim a republic based on equality and freedom in a country whose majority of the population were made of slaves or ex-slaves?
I've come to Salvador in the northeast of Brazil, where it all began. Portuguese colonizers first arrived to the state of Bahia in 1500, and Salvador was Brazil's first capital. But this port must also be remembered for other reasons. The shameful cargo of millions of human beings who arrived here from Africa as slaves.
How much of African culture was appropriated as something Brazilian? I went to the streets of Pelourinho, the city's historic center with old colonial houses, to find out more, and met Joaquim Araújo at the Afro-Brazilian Museum.
And what's going on out here?
That's capoeira, you know, capoeira, which is a traditional dance, Brazilian, but with a lot of African influences, and it was created in Bahia, and now it's spread all over the world.
How would you describe capoeira to people who have never seen it?
Well, capoeira started in the slavery squads. It was a dance and became a fight. It was a way the slaves could protect themselves and could fight against their lords. That's when capoeira started, you know. It was criminalized until 1930s. It was considered illegal.
What's the importance of this African heritage for Bahia and for Brazil?
Well, African heritage is very important because it's everywhere. In Bahia, you can see it everywhere. It's in our music, our dance, our food, and the way of being is very African. So I would say African heritage is quite important for Baianos and for Brazil identity as a whole.
So Brazil is in a big part African.
It's very funny. I'm from Salvador City. I am a Baiano myself. I've been more than 10 times to Africa doing researches. And every time I'm in Africa, I feel myself at home. Bahia is Africa, so it's incredible. I feel so comfortable when I'm in Africa because it's like my hometown city.
In the south and in other areas of Brazil, Baianos, people here from Bahia, are regarded as being lazy. What do you say to that?
Actually, we are not lazy. We are just laid back. We enjoy life. Then until today, many people see Bahia is the land of happiness. Okay, we're happy because we're born like that, but we still have lots of problems in Bahia State and Salvador City. We have all the problems that any big cities in Brazil has. Poverty, hunger, traffic problems. So it's a shame for a country that is considered the sixth powerhouse of the world.
I've met lots of people from all over the country, all offering something a little bit different in our Brazilian mix. The one thing they all could agree on is that it's hard to put your finger on exactly what it is to be Brazilian. Identity is complex and multifaceted. Wise old sage, Costa Silva.
Each of us have several identities. We have the identity of your family, identity of your age, of your profession, of the town where you live, of everything.
We may well think of being Brazilian as something subtle, not a coherent set of national characteristics or deeply held values, but rather, as Costa Silva describes it, as a feeling. In our second program, we'll take this feeling and look at how that fits with our appearances. With such a rich ethnic diversity, how well does Brazil deal with race? Not as well as people like to pretend, as we'll hear next week. Thank you.